Good morning. My name is Tom. I'm one of the student ministers here. So what is your answer about what people have good day, have bad day? I hope some of the answer is actually people will come to you and you will try to give them comfort. So today, actually, our topic is about true comfort. So recently, there are two kinds of persecutions happening in China. On the one hand, 4,000 government churches in the Henan province alone, as the picture say, were either ordered by the government regulators to take their crosses down, or to close their building and service and to merge with other big churches. The government regulators tried to reduce the total number of churches to only one-third of the current figure. As this persecution went on, many Christians and brothers were crying daily and searching for the answers. They need a comfort. What comfort can we offer to them? On the other hand, Beijing Dying Church, a very big underground church in China, was forced by the government regulators to shut down their building and service because they don't want to register with the government. The Zion Church, they didn't feel threatened by the government. They instead decided to conduct the worship service secretly in the open airs. They also signed a statement about their Christian religion freedom, together with many other underground churches in the country. Here is how the statement ends. For the sake of the gospel, we are prepared to bear all losses, even the loss of our freedom and our lives. Why? Why the gospel could bring the comfort and courage to them? Look back to our last week's message in Psalm 137. Although the Israelites were in exile at their lowest point, they still had the hope of returning to Zion. Where was their hope of returning come from, we may wonder? Isaiah 40 is certainly one of the resources for this kind of hope. It gives them the comfort at the time of exile. Today, I want us to find out this comfort in Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 11, and Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. To find out this true comfort from these four points. True comfort is from God to His people. True comfort ends the judgment for sin. True comfort is offered by God's victorious return. True comfort is demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, we thank you for today. Thank you for the message of Isaiah and Mark. Father God, please give me strength. Let me open your mouth and speak. And also let us heart to listen to find the true comfort in you. Amen. So true comfort is from God to His people. Look at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This comfort is said by God, the loving God who calls my people. Although Israelites had rebelled against God, had ignored Isaiah's message for the coming of judgment, God did not forget them. God did not forget His covenant with the Israelites, did not forget His promises to Abraham. He continued to see them as His people. By God's righteous judgment, Israelites are fully deserved to receive the exile. But by God's faithful commitment to the covenant, Israelites have been restored by God as His people again. This is the true comfort. Because we have a true God, a faithful God, He is always stand by His people. Do you know this true God? Do you want to know this true God? He even kindly ends the judgment of sin for his people. My second point is, true comfort ends the judgment for sin. Look at verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been complete, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Here, God wants to speak tenderly to his people. The Israelites that were taken away, the Israelites that was in Psalm 137. Speak tenderly in the original Hebrew language actually means speak directly to their heart. Speak directly to their heart to warm up their heart. No longer be a callous heart, but be a responsible one for the proclaimed news. A news that they are waiting for so long, that everything in waiting, everything they want, are finished and done deal by God for his people now. Their suffering of judgment has been complete. Their sins have been paid for. And they have received the total forgiveness of God for all the sins. Although in Isaiah 40, God did not tell them what is the payment for their sin, but it was very clear that God had taken care of all of them. Do you know the judgment for sin is already ended? Do you want to see the judgment and suffering be ended? Now is the time to lay those burdens down, to take the comfort from this news, to wait for more news that is from God. My third point, true comfort is offered by God's victorious return. Verse 3 to 5 proclaim another good news from God, the return of the Lord God. A voice is one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah is a portrait, so his plan is painted a world picture to let us see. This is an announcement for the return of the Lord God. He is about to visit Zion again, the place for his glory to dwell. His roadway is straight. They will cross the desert, and nothing can stop him. The verse 4, the picture a journey like this, is on the level of mountains and the smooth ground without any difficulties. The glory of the Lord will be revealed in Zion again with all people to see. This announcement is also actually from the mouth of God, the Lord, who is always true to his word and cannot be changed by the circumstances. And this is confirmed by verse 6 to 8 for people to trust this good news. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. Grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God stands forever, is eternal. Unlike a human who is like grass and flowers, here today, maybe gone tomorrow, God is eternal, and his word endures forever. On one hand, like the withered grass and falling flowers, easily be cut off and blown away by the wind. Human, therefore cannot keep their promises, and are subject to the decay and death, and subject to the judgment of God. But on the other hand, God, in His unchanging nature, He is a rock for our refuge. He's like the picture sea. He will always remain for us to seek the comfort. He is always faithful in keeping His promises. Since God had already declared the return of His glory, the return of the Lord God previously, He would certainly keep His word and visit Zion soon. This good news can be trusted, and the people needed to watch out for His coming. Do you trust the word of God? Trust this good news. The picture of God's return is described in verse 9 to 11. For those who are watching out, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift up, do not be afraid. Says to the town of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accomplishes Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gets the lamb in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. This paints a picture what they will see. They will see God coming to Zion as a victorious king, as a king returned from war, who has a mighty power in His arm, and people are shouting for joy. As the king, He's coming to rule His people. He's coming with His armies. Yet, His ruling in this picture is like a gentle shepherd. Gentle shepherd who protects His lambs, who pulls them in His arms, who gets them up with care and love. This picture has two points. One point, God will bring them back to Zion, carry them in His arms or shoulders like a shepherd did to His lamb. On the second, God also will reward them with good gifts as the conquering king. How wonderful is this picture? How great is this news? That God will return victoriously. That God will bring His people back to Zion. That's why those people who see, they are happy that declaring the good news of God's returning, the victory. That's why they're pointing people to know God, to welcome Him as King. They're shouting for joy without any fear, enjoying the peace that God is with them again. Do you want to join them to proclaim the good news? In Isaiah 40, this true comfort from God is to bring peace and joy. It gives hope to those Israelites that were in exile. It tells them their judgment will be over soon. They will have peace with God. It proclaims that God will bring His people back to Zion victoriously. They will joyfully receive God's protection and blessings again. But you may wonder here, how we receive this good news now. We are not the Jews, we are the Gentiles. We are not in exile. We are living in this land of peace and prosperity. Can we receive any comfort and hope in Isaiah 40? Yes, the answer is yes. This true comfort of God is even available for us today, not only in Isaiah 40, but in the Gospel of Jesus now. My fourth point, true comfort is demonstrated in the Gospel of Jesus. The Gospel writer interprets the appearing of John the Baptist as the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. According to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, John the Baptist was the one calling in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance and announcing the coming of Jesus. Jesus came as the Son of God, a royal king, to proclaim the good news about the coming of God's heavenly kingdom. He fits in perfectly the above picture of God that returned victoriously. Jesus showed he is the glory of God. In his miraculous work of healing sick, drive out demons, calm storm, raise the dead, and forgive sin, he is the return of God's glory to his people. Do you remember that shepherd like him? Jesus had compassion to the people of Israel, saw them as scattered sheep without shepherd. He is the return of a shepherd like him. Do you still wondering how God paid for our sins? Jesus died on the cross to pay for all sins. By his suffering, all mankind's iniquity had been punished on him. He is the payment for all sins, not only to Jews, but to all who believe in his name, who become God's people in the heavenly kingdom. Do you remember that picture of the victorious king? After Jesus paid for sin in full, God also raised him up to declare his victory over death and sin. By defeating the death and sin, Jesus is the victorious God, and he gives the gift of salvation to us all. Since Jesus paid for all our sins, we are no longer under judgment for sin. We are God's people who have the privilege to enter into the heavenly kingdom. We are saved for a better place, a wonderful kingdom. This wonderful kingdom is promised in Revelation chapter 21 that God will dwell among his people to establish eternal peace. He will comfort all his people personally and finally by wiping away tears, death, mourning, and pain. This is a hope for our continued suffering in this world. Because of this hope, the Transit Underground churches can be sure of their salvation in the gospel of Jesus, can take the comfort in God's promise of heavenly Zion, the eternal home. The gospel of Jesus actually gave us a great hope than the Isaiah 40 can offer. How great is this gospel? How wonderful is the true comfort in the gospel? How blessed we are than those Israelites in exile, those in Psalm 137, because we now have the peace and joy. What would be our right response to this true comfort in Isaiah 40? This true comfort that is more clearly demonstrated by the gospel of Jesus now. I encourage all of us to think about the three possible actions. First, do we really want this true comfort? Do you really want the end of judgment, suffering from the true God? Last week, the message of Psalm 137 reminded us that we are not at home yet. We are still living in the world of Babylon, that still reject the truth of God, still corrupt by the sin, and still facing the judgment. As a result, we are suffering the injustice in many ways. Those persecutions to churches in China are just one of few examples. Besides that, we are still mourning for the loss of loved ones, mourning for the sickness, for the pain, for the suffering. But ultimately, we are mourning for the consequence of sin and its judgment. We need the true comfort. The true comfort that is from a true God, who will wipe away all the mournings finally, as he promised. Now, since this true comfort is actually demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus, we need to receive the gospel to obtain this true comfort. On one hand, if we have not obtained this true comfort yet, maybe it is time to seriously consider about the gospel that offers true comfort. Not let this true comfort slip away. On the other hand, if we already receive the true comfort, receive the gospel, we should always watch out the way, not putting anything about it that would take away the peace and joy of our salvation. Lest we are easily to be comforted by this material world, by this land of peace and prosperity, we instead forgot or neglect the true comfort that is so preciously offered in the gospel. For God, only God and Jesus can give us the true comfort. Second, do we trust this true comfort? Trust the good news. This true comfort is trustworthy. It is promised by the eternal word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And God is faithful to let Jesus already come as a victorious king for us. No matter what happens in the world, we already have the true comfort that is secured in the gospel. No one can take it away. Nothing can prevent it happen. Those Chinese underground churches, they did not lose their true comfort. They did not let their trust in Jesus be affected by the government regulator's decision. Instead, they have a hold of the true comfort that they promised in the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the true comfort and the hope in the gospel, they joyfully endure the suffering, even that means the losses of their buildings, freedom, and life. What about us? We may have religion freedom here, yet we still can see and feel the rejection of the gospel in this secular society. We may actually at the edge of the persecution, because our religion freedom is also under attack now. What should we do? Let's take the comfort from the gospel of Jesus. Let's stand firm on the eternal word of God in following Jesus. Not easily be distracted or swept away by the decision of people, society, and even government. Third, do we want to proclaim this true comfort? Proclaim the good news. We have the true comfort from God, the comfort that can bring real peace and joy, which the world cannot offer. All of mankind are waiting for this true comfort. They are waiting for the good news of Jesus. They are waiting for his gift of salvation. They are waiting to hear Jesus' victory over death and sin. We need to join those people who bring the good news in Isaiah 40, verse 9. Those who watches out and shouts out the good news. They are really joyful for the good news. They are really shout out the news to all God's people. What about us? Are we joyful for the gospel that has even a greater hope than Isaiah 40? Even clearly see the triumphant of Jesus as a victorious king? Are we always be ready to shout out the gospel, to proclaim the good the true comfort. But we fear the rejection or doubting the usefulness of gospel. Let's take heart. It is a true comfort from God. It is the word of God endures forever. It offers the gift of salvation that will bring peace and joy to all people, all mankind. Let's be joyful. Let's shout out. Let's proclaim the gospel without fear. Let's say, here, here is Savior King Jesus, the victory King. Come and follow him. Can we do that? The true comfort of Isaiah 40 is fully demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus. It deals with our problem of sin that paid by Jesus fully. It promised to us the eternal home of the heavenly kingdom where God was established, the eternal peace, and personally comfort his people. It is the word of God for us to believe. It is the message for us to proclaim. It is our great joy and hope in waiting. Let's continue trust this true comfort of God in the gospel. Let's praise God for the true comfort. Let's be joyful. Let's thank Jesus for the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the true comfort in Isaiah 40, and especially more clearly in the gospel of Jesus. We thank you Jesus is the victorious King who already defeated death and sin. We thank Jesus give us this peace and joy and hope, and give us the gift of salvation. Father God, please let today's word challenge us to think about, are we truly have this true comfort? Are we truly want this comfort, true comfort? Are we truly want to proclaim this true comfort? Father God, please strengthen us and also bring peace to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.